If when you watch a Godzilla movie, you wish he would go straight to the fire breath because otherwise he's just stretching it out, then you've reached the Paranormal Odyssey podcast. My name is Bo Llewellyn, and I'm joined by...
The Mighty Ants Lipinovic.
The Mighty Ants is back. We appreciate Morgan for filling in. The Mighty Ants Lipinovic has reached back to the days of yore and gathered up his strength and said, fuck a bunch of being sick. I'm going to wind up being on the show. And he's here today to help me out. He's going to be in the background doing the technical work, making sure and shooting me some facts as I need them. And I'm glad to have him. It's never better. But we do appreciate Morgan. Today, we have as our guest is Nigel Kerner. Nigel has written a book and has been on Coast to Coast AM discussing alien harvesting of souls, a strange and unusual topic. We'll let him get into that area and explain his thoughts and theories. We believe that everyone should have a voice on here, and it's important to give even some of the most unusual points of view time, as long as they're coming from someone that's an educated man. And Nigel has certainly done his research, and his credentials are strong. So we'll listen to Nigel, we'll hear what he has to say, and I would like to personally endorse Nigel's book. Anyone that wants to get involved in what Nigel has to say, well, you can always take a listen to what his interview was like on Coast to Coast AM, or you can go to his website at nigelkerner.com. He's got two books, one called Gray Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls, and another book, The Song of the Grays. We're going to have a great time interviewing Nigel, and I hope you enjoy it. So on with the show. Nigel, I want to thank you first for being on the show. It's a deep honor to have you here. I've heard you on Coast to Coast AM and was taken by your appearance. And I have plenty of questions that surrounding both your books, the first being The Song of the Grays and the second one being Gray Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls. And I can only start as this and to say that you have some fabulous theories. But before we get into all that, what got you interested in UFOs and aliens to even begin with?
Yeah, well, I still try and count coup, as they say. You know, some a lovely old word about American Cheyenne Indians counting coup. I think you know the tradition in America. Anyway, to actually try and figure this thing out myself is very difficult because I really am kind of science bent and so on. And the proposition, at least, that real aliens are here, bearing in mind the Einsteinian forbiddance of E equals MC squared, and you know the thing that says, as you go towards the speed of light, which is kind of a singular mark that you should actually aim for to speed across our universe and get somewhere else and so forth. And also the fact that that actually says that as soon as you get towards the speed of light, you then start, matter becomes infinite. It was just impossible that this, in real physical, atomic, baryonic terms, this thing would prevail, and these things could come here. So I was wondering to myself, you know, what am I doing about, you know, considering aliens and so on? They just can't get here in the distances involved in the universe and so on. However, my son, this is a rather romantic thing, actually, Rob. My son, who was 12 at the time, and it's pretty well decked out honcho between his ears, so to speak. He asked me one day, off the cuff, now, Dad, do you really think that these UFOs are real? Because he's read something about some astronaut actually landing. I think it was Gordon Cooper. And actually landing, and in front of him was a craft. He photographed, sent the photographs to the authorities, and, of course, the authorities lost the photograph. But Gordon Cooper, all through his life, is an American astronaut, the premier of American society, premier type, maintaining this is true, and of course we know that Ed Mitchell and many, many other very high disposed individuals now affirm that these things are here. Well, I decided when my son was 12, he's now 40, over 40 really, but the point is I decided then, look, I better give this guy a rain check before I answer his question. And that rain check has taken nearly 40 years, you know, to come to a conclusion. But in that time, as I opened Pandora's box and all the leaves were, you know, taken apart, so to speak, I have no doubt whatsoever that the greatest and most threatening and the most absolutely important secret in the world today is the fact that humankind is not humankind derivational as based upon an incidental mechanism of, you know, things like Darwinian evolution and so on, that there was a genetic interception about 200,000 years ago somewhere in Africa which actually disposed the human aegis, so to speak, to become a kind of accelerated growth mechanism. Because up until then, for millions of years, the ancient type of human, it's been catalogued through science, Homo habilis, Homo erectus, and so on, have been here for millions of years with very, very little genetic change as such. And then suddenly, about 200,000 years ago, we get this massive change occurring where the human brain size grows exponentially, 3 times, 300%. Larger than it was, and commensurate with that, happening almost simultaneously, the pelvic girdle of female humanoid also increases to admit this brain size. And so two things happening, as they think, in evolutionarily through fortuitous mutation. Impossible. It just doesn't happen like that in the time scale. And Einstein agreed with that, and a very great scientist called Sir Fred Hoyle, British scientist, also a very highly respected man who, you know, I think people might remember he's responsible for the steady state theory of the universe and so on. And the whole point was very, very high reputable, people with high science reputations were looking at the numbers in this and found that this was impossible. So I believe then, as we went along, and more evidence was gathered, too long to go into here, but the fact is that we are, in fact, a genetically engineered disposition as a species, Homo sapiens sapiens, the modern man business, from these small semi primate-type humanoids that were wandering the African stanzas and plains over absolute trillions of, if you like, millions of years, you know, and so on. So that premise that these things can be here and are here actually began, obviously, to raise in my own kind of, you know, curiosity, of, so to speak, whether these things being, if once I established, for instance, that they were, in fact, much more likely to be real than not, and can you imagine, Robert, the kind of consequence to the body politic of humanity that would entail an intelligence that can come from out there, past the Einsteinian forbiddance of E equals MC squared, and then do this business here upon this primitive type of man? What on earth are we, in conjunction with that, in contemporary, present-day terms? Now, that ethos is what has driven me and drives me to this day, and of course, we all know that these guys are hiding, because if they were benevolent, if they were good, if they were going to bring benedictions to humankind, they would have done that long ago. They would have been disposed to all of us in this sweet, beautiful way, giving us, you know, zero-point energy and all the most wonderful benefactions that man could get without the struggle that man seems to have, fossil fuels and so on, that kind of thing. All of that could have been done so beautifully, and he would have been schematically going along, wandering around the fields of heaven all day, so to speak. Oh, no, they don't do that. They hide, and they are being hidden. And there is an absolutely, I am convinced of it, giant conspiracy in the world, in the mainstream particularly, to hide this from the whole scheme of human understanding and human investigation.
With there being so many commercials out nowadays for pills or diet supplements or creatine or plans that will help you get in shape, or maybe you see advertisements for martial arts studios that say, study with us for a month and you're guaranteed a belt, You know, there's no substitution for hard work, and where hard work lies is in the American Kenpo Legacy Association. That's going to get you results. It is an art that is about 70, 80 years old, even older if you go to its roots, up to 2,000 years old. And what they develop is young men and young women, or mature men and mature women, into something leaner, something meaner, something that can be seen walking down the street, head up, with confidence. And I tell you out there, predators, they become successful by finding successful prey. Go through the American Kenpo Legacy Association's program to make yourself into something stronger, faster. We have the technology. All you have to do is just contact Master Lampkin at www.harness.org. He can guide you to the right developmental plan. You can also get a deep discount on some of the manuals by using the promotional code Garrison, which is specific for this podcast. Now back to the show.
Nigel, I hate to interject. I'm just going to pose a different, like a sidebar here. By the way, Stephen Hawking would agree with you on the attitude of alien species as being hostile. But in your premise, do you believe that this type of harvesting happened only in the past, or is it continuing to happen today?
Yeah, I believe that if you've got, it depends on the type of intelligence you are speculating about. And really, it's a derivational thing, you know, Robert. You have to derive this thing down, because obviously you can't, if you go up and talk to an alien, you'll never get the alien to a studio to come and say, hi, folks, hi from out there. We're all going to have a good chat together, and hey, look, we're going to show you some magic here. Your troubles are over. No, you'll never get that. And so, obviously, because there are vested interests here, these guys can give us technologies that can take away billions in profit, and the profit motive and all that kind of thing will fall apart. They're not going to let this happen. So what are we looking at here? We're looking at a kind of mechanism that can travel or get here past Einsteinian forbiddance. That now has been established beyond a shadow of a doubt, is a actual synthetic thing. It's based upon roboids. These are not real natural living beings, as we are natural living beings, coming through the universe from the beginning, Robert, from the beginning, going back, mum, dad, granddad, grandma, so forth, all the way back. One concatenate line going all the way back connects us with the beginning of the universe. That's natural being disposed through birth, coming through as we operate as on the earth as human beings. These things were actually made by perhaps something out there, some huge intelligence out there that provided robotic expression, as we are doing now. Of course, they're all the hard sells on at this moment to say, welcome the robot. This is a wonderful benediction on mankind. Now, these guys did it maybe thousands of years ago. And our technology, after all, is just 230 years old or 40 years old in the main caucus that provides, you know, all our benefits and so on. That's an amazingly short time, is it not?
We're
operating like this. So can you imagine something? As the great scientist Kaku who says, you know, that there've got to be civilizations at least 10, 15, 20,000 years old in our universe. After all, you know, it's been here a long time. And there are so many, we're discovering now, so many stars that have planets, and some of them almost Earth-like and so on. You can absolutely be certain there will be other civilizations out there that are natural and produce natural beings in a kind of, I don't believe in evolution, by the way, so I almost say evolutionary sense, if you like. And they then produce sophisticated mechanisms, which then they have to run on artificial intelligence, which then they have to run on a program, which means you have to interface and set a program between what is natural and synthetic. And I tell you what, Robert, that's where you get the interesting paradox, because you can never, ever instruct a machine, whatever you might do, that's created from within, you know, the timescales of our universe, so to speak. Never instruct you, get a machine to actually understand a component of natural being that might actually lie outside the scale of atoms. And that's the whole point. People call it spirit or watching, like whatever they like. I'm really, I have to say, I don't go with this religious business either myself. As a scientist, I've looked at this as clearly as I possibly can. Yes, there is a insight that if there is a yin, there's a yang. If there's a physical universe that has all the expressions we know, there has also got to be its opposite, an unphysical universe of unforced, whilst our universe is one of enforced resolution. There has to be another one of its opposite expression, so to speak. And that's the interesting thing, because if ours operates on breaking apart the second law of thermodynamics, taking everything into greater state of chaos and randomness with time, then the other universe has to be one where all things are brought together into a central caucus. And there, if ours is physical, perceptible, material, touchable, tactile, all that, the other universe has to be the opposite. It's ephemeral. It's abstract. Rather like thought is abstract. You know, it's non-touchable, so to speak. And I believe we are, when the Big Bang happened, a conglomerate of both states mixed together. We're an in-between state that holds both components. Those components actually are what makes us so interesting. If you see what I'm trying to say, as natural living being. Life comes from a combination of the two universes combined. If you see what I'm trying, that's my ethos. So all these discoveries, if I may so, they're not great shakes. They just quite simply are, I think, derivational logic. And I'm sure there are thousands and thousands of people out there who've seen the same thing, but have never been able to announce it because vested interests like religions, like the scientific cartel today, the economic cartel today, and the sociological setups to races, to nations, to all of that, forbid us actually seeing the truth of our very real and marvelous disposition, because if we've got two universes in us, we may be able to, from within us, access one or the other. And I think that's what the teachers that we call religious teachers, right, came to tell us. Hang on, boyos, bear this in mind. If you're natural, you can go back to a wonderful stance from which everything goes back together again in a physical paradigm, if you see what I'm trying to say. Now, you take all the time, and it goes back to the Big Bang. It all comes together again to one point. And I believe that at that point, because one thing that is expressed as togetherness and one thing that is its opposite notionally, you know, like it'll be the opposite in terms of chaos. So orderness and harmonic togetherness is then played against its notional opposite. The two things combine, the potential differences butt off universes like ours, and we are the property of both. So in a nutshell, I'm trying to say something that's taken me three books to write, you know, in detail and so forth, and trying to talk to you guys on the radio and so on, I have to say that this is the kind of way I've got to say it. Course, there's an awful lot more to that, and I'm afraid, you know, don't particularly read my books, but there are many people coming to the kinds of conclusions I've come to. I think I was the first to actually claim that the reason why these things are here is to take that component of art, because they're machine, that component of that combination component of us living beings having two factors in us, basic factors in us, to try to skipjack that, their artificial intelligence, borrow our schematic, our natural schematic, and then, if you know the story of Pinocchio could truly become a real boy, so to speak. And just looking at the interesting surmises might suggest is I'm all about kind of thing.
Feeling like you need to speak out about this topic, you have something to say, maybe a personal experience, or you have a differing opinion to either a guest or one of the hosts as what they have, please feel free to find us on Facebook and say that opinion. We're at Paranormal Odyssey Podcast. It's a Facebook page that's open to the public. We would love it if you go over there and like us on the page. We post the podcast up on the page, and that's how a lot of the listeners they get automatic updates to it. We would love to hear your opinion, and we'd love to have your presence there. Be one of the people like ourselves that has taken this odyssey on this paranormal journey, and together we can discover something even more than just the strange and unusual. That is, discover something about yourself. In your book, Gray Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls, you discuss in detail these thoughts and concepts, but the one thing that I don't want to give away too many valuable points in the book, but if you would please, are you stating that you believe that the alien life forms are harvesting these souls so that way that they can use them themselves?
Well, they are life forms. That's the most important thing to say here. What we're dealing with is a gray entity that is a biological machine. We are starting to produce these synthetic types of DNA now in this world. So they are an actual creation by a naturally antecedental lot in the universe out there. This biological machine set to actually guard perhaps the original planet has gone out into space with an order that can't see the difference between them and us. And that is, we are natural beings with another side to us, but as a machine, they can't know themselves. You cannot give a machine an identity. And as such, they're working on a absent premise, really, these guys. And they are in our world, see living being producing, through birth, children, whatever. But they are machines. They will break down the second law of thermodynamics. Everything does wrong. That's the whole point about the second law. I call it the slot for that reason. Second law of thermodynamics. The slot takes everything out. In fact, if you ask any cosmologist, our universe too is going to end one day. But I mean, the fact is that, you know, if these things are artificial, understand that. They are robotics. That's the big premise and principle I have a truck with. I have a competition here with. And I'm saying if such an entity with highly sophisticated artificial intelligence, not knowing what components we have naturally, a spiritual side, a non-physical side, an abstract side, where thought comes from. Thought is an abstract. You can't touch it. You can't feel it, whatever. If these things don't know that, they will try to muscle in on us. Now, Robert, it is so simple, this business, you know. They don't have to create vast technologies anymore. We've provided it for them by some huge conspiratorial stance in the world today. We have given them a network that is all over the world. Now, I know that people love their computers and all their technology. They're bought into all of that. But what if that is a premise for the mitigating of human nature and naturalness with that of a machine hacking into our dispositions of thinking and understanding and so on? So I see, I don't know if you want to go on that side of it at the moment, but I can also try and explain, as I try with the children. And my great premise is talking to the future generations, to the little ones. What are we leaving them if we don't think this business out and somehow our own adult generation knocks this thing on the head, if in fact there is a giant conspiracy through huge intelligence hiding this kind of component of some great threat to take over our naturalness by some machine type mechanism that I believe actually may well be something of a norm in the universe out there. The great battle is between that which is natural against that which is artificial. And so we have this business about us competing with this kind of God or that kind of God or our own kind of way. We do terrible things to each other by creating difference and then trying to hurt anybody difference kind of thing. Well, let me tell you, the big premise of difference is that which I believe, at least when I say let me tell you, forgive me, I don't mean to sound patronizing, but no. It's what I've worked out. I have worked out that the great battle is between what is natural in the universe and connected up to the beginning and therefore beyond to what is artificially and made since then after resolutions have happened to create physical derivations of being on that natural cord, so to speak. I'm a natural living being. And that living being then produces these objects, and that's the big bug. Do not make an artificially intelligent robot that you cannot actually instruct and give proper understanding of the difference of your natural being with their artificial being, because then you've got a big problem. They can go to societies like ours, find, you know, decaying resolutions of natural life like they did in Africa or whatever it is, it's called hominids, whatever, and they think, hang on a minute, these guys are producing, what if we put our programs into their mindedness, and then we can carry on as natural beings ourselves and not artificial beings. It doesn't matter if we break up to the second law of thermodynamics, because these people, these things produce progeny naturally. And I think that's been the big deal here, that they've seen that opportunity and they are doing this to humanity and trying to take away that propensity from each and every one of us by downloading, if you like, the factorizations that make up their pseudo-electromechanical mindedness, so to speak.
If you like the show, then become a repeat offender. Listen to our show on iTunes. It's available. Subscribe to us. Like us on there. Even leave a comment. If you found us through Facebook or you found us through Podomatic, then let that gateway drug of awesomeness lead you to the next level of addiction. That is iTunes. That way you're sure to be able to get our episodes each time they come out. And you can listen to it via your iPod, your Nano, your friend's iPod, your wife, steal it, take it to work. Maybe even download iTunes on your work computer, listen to it through there. Make sure that you get your admin permissions from your IT department so that way they never know what you're doing. I mean, the list could go on. Get out there. Get in touch. Get on iTunes.
I love these concepts, and these are bold ideas. Let me ask you, Nigel, what basis of research did you go into to be able to come up with these ideas? Because let me tell you something, I love this concept, and I'm going to wind up buying your books because I want to know more about this. But where did your research begin? What gave you the clues to the stair-step process to come to these ideas?
Well, I just had a look at religion. I wondered what, I mean, I have a science background, but what I was lacking was religion. I was allergic to religion. To be honest. However, I knew that you can't find any truth unless you look every single side of it. And that notionally is what I try to do, to keep a neutral stance as possible. It's an extremely difficult thing to do, to be able to look at these things neutrally and play each side against the other and so forth. That's what took so long. But I felt I owed it to my children. And every time I look at their faces, they're all grown up now and got grandchildren, beautiful little things. And I think to myself, simply as an ordinary human being, what can I give them when I go that might have any value? Anything material, gone with the first or the third divorce, to be cynical. See what I mean? I'm sure an awful lot of us know what I mean. And then what is left for them? But if I can give them a real idea shaped in logic, if they can look at this and test it for themselves, not just believe dad or granddad, just look at it themselves, give them the formats to see, how would I shape that? How would I contrive that? How would I design that? So I looked at this. That meant reading an awful lot of literature that the main religions have thrown out because a cartel of individuals have got together and cornered the market, because it means huge power controlling people that don't know any difference. So you tell them what to believe. The crosses up there in midair, you put stars of David, you put out all Islamic crescents or whatever it is, instead of trying to truly say that the original concepts of all these things are beautiful. The great masters who taught us these things clearly said something exactly the same. They saw another universe that we have access to. And perhaps in one chap's case that I can provide real evidence for, and that is a Christian teacher, Jesus Christ, he, in fact, I believe, came here to warn us about this basic mechanism in the universe, naturalness against artificial syntheticness. That's really what he was all about. When I look at that individual in this context, from all the literature thrown out, incidentally, by the body politic of the Christian faiths that you read now, the New Testament, the Old Testament. I mean, how can you contrast an Old Testament God that says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and kill anybody because I'm a jealous God, with the New Testament ethos that says, turn the other cheek and love everybody?
Yeah,
there has to be some huge difference here. What kind of God is that old guy?
Yeah,
that's not the kind of God I want. I can understand a God that provides the premise of togetherness, i.e. mirroring, if you like, this universe that I'm talking about that's hidden from this other guy who is all physical, cutting people down and all this kind of those stances. And so it is a truly huge contradiction. Why don't people see this, Robert? That's the fascinating thing to me. Why don't they see this basic difference and question? So what I'm saying to you is, I didn't get this in any magic stance. I looked at it out of the motive of wanting to give my children something real to hang on to in logic. And the first premise I said to them was, do not believe what I say. Go out there, look at the neutral kind of ethos, and find out for yourself, and then believe it. Never believe what anybody else says. Use it as a guideline, but believe it only when you can see your reason saying, hang on, this has to be true. 1 + 1 = 1 + 1. You see what I'm trying to
say? I get exactly what you're saying. The name of this gentleman is Nigel Kerner. His website is nigelkerner.com. That's NigelKerner.com. His two books that he has out right now are Great Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls. The Song of the Greys is his second novel. I will certainly be purchasing my copy tomorrow, as I suggest everyone else does. Nigel, as a closing question, would you please tell our audience, now you have some fascinating theories, and I think they're very compelling. Do you go into these theories very deeply in the Great Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls? What can they expect to gain out of the book when they read it?
I think they'll gain themselves, and that's what I'm hoping most of all, that they can actually factorize themselves as human beings and see how precious and noble and wondrous they are. If a great teacher like Jesus Christ could come and do what he did and suffer what he suffered, actually prophesying he was going to get whacked when he went into Jerusalem, that's when a con man runs the other way. That's made me think about this guy and think, hey, hang on, this guy could be real. This guy's something special, you know? And so science gave way a little bit to a teaching paradigm that I admired. And then I find out, going through science, using whatever science I can with a colleague of mine, that the Shroud of Turin is really on the cards for being a real effect. 38,000 billion watts of energy. They found out, the atomic scientists in Italy have found out the latest news it took to make this image on the shroud. And that is the most wondrous miracle of all, because it was done in a tomb by a body. That's something that, you know, is a program itself, you know, the shroud business. And that convinced me that we, and what this guy, Jesus or Christ or Jeshua ben Yosef was trying to say to us was, hang on a minute, and I'm really not touting Christianity now, but please understand me, I really am not doing this. I just looked at all the teachers and what they did, and there were others probably that did similar things in the past teachers to this Christian guy. And so the point was, when I looked at the science there, look, I tell you, mate, if you want to go and investigate anything, do this with the Shroud of Turin. You will understand why we human beings, every single one, he said to us, don't ye know ye are gods? I've come to tell you what your legacy truly is. In other words, don't believe the lies and the conspiracy that have made you what you are by these machines, you know. And so in the books, I go on to actually describe how and how this was actually verified and so on. So no one need believe my word. They could actually go and investigate this for themselves and discover the greatest thing of all. This is the answer to your question, Robert. And that is that every human being, because they can live eternally in another paradigm, because they have access to that, are so special, no matter what their status in whatever it is in this world that we regard as valuable. Each person suffering or feeling down or whatever, please don't lose sight of your natural humanity, because that is your passport to a marvelous future. And instead of a negative message full of fear, I'm often accused of that, I'm trying to show you through cataloging all the negatives how the positive appears so marvelous.
Powerful words from Nigel Kerner, and this is a very compelling subject. I suggest anyone go to his website at nigelkerner.com. Nigel, thank you for appearing on the Paranormal Odyssey.
And thank you very much, Robert Llewellyn. You are a special chap for trying to get the mainstream broken down as much as you can. Well done.